Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Perhaps because there are so many religious holidays in the December-January period, it triggers fundamentalistic views in more people. At least it seems that way. And this extends even into our relationship with animals. During the same period, I've read or heard several reports about what I think of as fundamentalistic approaches to some very complex problems. These include towns in Florida who decide that the way to deal with their unwanted animal population that forbid the sale of puppies or kittens by pet stores or puppy mills. They think that if they do this, everyone will go to the shelter and adopt animals, whether those animals are adoptable and would make good pets or not. This is a fundamentalistic view. These individuals define the problem as too many stray, free-roaming, unowned animals in their area. So the way to deal with the problem is not to address the source of the problem, i.e., the answer to the question, why are those animals free, running loose, on the streets, unowned in the first place, but to force people to buy them. The problem is that because of what is going on in the transport and the dog and cat trafficking arena, pet stores and puppy mills regulated by the USDA aren't looking that bad. They're not the boogeyman you can threaten people with anymore. There are too many rescues around that haven't quite measured up. They've had health problems. They've had behavioral problems. They've cost their owners a lot of money. They've probably done their share to generate the first generation of young people who just aren't sure they want a pet when they get older. Having a pet in the household was not a positive experience. It was a heartbreak. Made mom and dad fight. It ostracized them from their friends because their friends' parents didn't want their kids anywhere near that dog. But the fundamentalists think that if you pass a law, that's going to take care of it. That, like the little self-absorbed prince, you can just stamp your foot three times and say, I want it, I want it, I want it, and you'll get it. Just pass a law. That'll take care of it. That'll solve the problem. But of course it doesn't. Or we see other towns that pass legislation that any pit bull, or rather anything that looks like a pit bull to whoever is enforcing the law, if provisions were even made in the law to enforce it, should be spayed or neutered. And this is going to solve the problem of the large population of adult free-roaming pit bull-like animals that no one wants to adopt. This is based on the assumption that there are not free-roaming dogs out there, particularly in warmer climates, who are first, second, third, maybe fourth generation of free-roaming dogs. They have no owners. They haven't had owners in recent history. So it's another law that's not going to solve the problem. Back in the days, early in my veterinary career, when I was much more active in politics as president of the New Hampshire Veterinary Medical Association, I discovered how incredibly ignorant most politicians are about animal issues. But aside from that, I also learned how crafty they were. For example, animal rights fundamentalists of one sort or another always had their pet projects, and they were relentless because their particular pet project was the only thing in their life. It was their religion. And so they were prepared to expend a tremendous amount of energy making calls, sending emails, and otherwise badgering politicians to give them what they want. Initially, the politicians would resist, but very quickly, they found a way around this. They would pass the legislation the particular special interest groups wanted, but they wouldn't fund it. That let them off the hook, and if they were lucky, those who proposed the legislation in the first place would lose interest and they would go off and find a new cause. As a result, there was like this revolving door of animal-related legislation. Some of it bizarre to the point of funny, others had some validity to it. But because of the fundamentalist approach of some, it was like the little boy crying wolf. Over time, the political system started ignoring it all simply by not funding it. That's really sad. Not only do they not solve the problem that they hold so very near and dear to their heart, they close the door to solving it. Sometimes it's because they don't properly define the true nature of the problem in the first place. Politically, we hide behind animals. We hide behind animals because we're afraid to deal with the human problems underlying them. We avoid the greater issues, the breakdown in our systems. But at this time of year, that's not the way people think. They are so focused on their little world and scrambling to control other people, to make other people make their problem go away. I don't know what the answer is. I do know that these people remind me of the foghorn theory. The more noise they make, the less they can see.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.